and amen. I want you to take your printout as we begin this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. You'll notice the title is Appointing Your Days, Appointing Your Days. Let's begin reading with verses 10 through 12. It says, whatever exists has already been named long ago, and it is known what a frail being man is. For he cannot dispute with him, underline the word him, it is a reference to the living God, who is mightier, underline the word mightier, it means God is too powerful for man. And remember, the Bible says that God is all powerful. For there are many other words that increase futility. What then is the advantage for a man? For who, limited by human wisdom, knows what is good for man during his lifetime, during the few days of his futile life? Now, make this note, if you will. Man is ignorant of what is best for him to do and of what the future holds. I'll repeat that. Man is ignorant of what is best for him to do and of what the future holds. Let's add to that. Man is ignorant of his place in God's foreordained plan of all things. I'll repeat that one. Man is ignorant also of his place in God's foreordained plan of all things. I'm going to ask you the question, when were things foreordained? They were foreordained in eternity past, before anything existed or was created. All right, let's go back up and begin reading. He spends them like a shadow, staying busy for achieving nothing of lasting value. For who can tell a man what will happen after him? That is, parenthesis, to his work, his treasure, his plans under the sun here on planet Earth after his life is over. Number one, we must know our limitations, our priorities, and that our few days of life are like a shadow. Here's a question. Has God appointed a day for each of us to die? Your answer? Yes. Will you be late for that appointed day and time? No. So what are we to do until that appointed day? Maximize the days you have been given. Maximize the days you have been given. That's Hebrews 9:27. It says, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Now, I'm going to exegete that, and here we go, Hebrews 9:27. We'll begin with the word just. The word just in the Greek language means this is what it comes down to. This is what it comes down to. Just as it is appointed for men. Underline the word men. Men refers to the human race, including men and women. So just as it is appointed for men to die, underline the two words to die. This admission, this warning, is for all of us to prepare for death and is principally directed at believers. This is because opportunity freezes at death to upgrade for eternity. The believer's opportunity to upgrade for the preparation to enjoy eternity ends with physical death. This also is the doorway to glory, delivering them from the many limitations of earth. No wonder Jesus encouraged us to work while it is yet day, because night is coming when no man can work. And here's the point I want you to get from this. God will grant different levels of reward that fit or match the different levels of faithfulness in this life. Just as there is no second chance for the unbeliever to find salvation after death, there is no second chance for believers to change their evaluation from God once they die. All right, let's go back to the printout. We'll reread Hebrews 9:27. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Will the Christian be judged? The Bible says absolutely yes. He will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And every unbeliever will be judged at the great white throne judgment. That will be the last judgment that is going to take place. Now let's look at what is below Hebrews 9:27. Now this reminds us that death isn't the end. Death isn't the end. So what is death? Death is a transition. Death is a transition, not a conclusion. Judgment is coming, and Jesus Christ himself is going to bring that judgment. So it is an absolute truth, and it is an absolute reality. Nothing is going to stop it. Just as people die once, Christ also died once. But he's coming back. He came the first time to bear the sins of many. He's coming a second time to grab us, and that is going to be the rapture of the church. For the rapture of the church is the next big event that is going to take place. And after the rapture, there's going to be the 7-year tribulation period. And after the 7-year tribulation period is going to be the 1,000-year reign known as the millennial of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is going to rule and reign, and we are going to rule and reign with him. Now, we're now living in the interim between Christ's death and return. We're waiting for him. So don't give up. Keep moving forward in faith. Now, here are some questions. Number one, how do you maximize the days you've been given? How do you maximize the days that you've been given? Number two, what will the days yet to come bring to your life? What will the days yet to come bring to your life? Do I have a say in the matter? It is written, teach us to number our days. I want you to turn to the top of page 2. Teach us, notice what is in parentheses, number. And then underline the word M-A-N-A-H. It is manal in the Hebrew language. Teach us to number or manal our days. Now listen very carefully. The word manal means more than number. It means to prepare. Underline the word prepare. And in your mind, go back to the book of Jonah. Now what was it that God manal or prepared for Jonah? God prepared a fish. God prepared a worm, and God prepared a wind, all for the purpose of getting who? Jonah, where God wanted him to be. All right, now here's a question. What does that mean? It means that you're not just to watch and wait passively to see what your days will bring. You're to prepare them. Now I want you to think, understand this. Number two, how can I prepare my days before they happen? How can I prepare my days before they happen? Well, A, how did the first days happen in the beginning? Did they just happen? The answer is no. Before they existed, God prepared them. He appointed them. He purposed them. So if you're a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you must do likewise. How? Prayer. Prayer is the answer. Praying for days that don't yet exist. Prayer isn't only for what is, but for what is not yet. You say, but I can't determine what will happen. It doesn't matter what happens. You appoint your days in God to bring what is good. You consecrate them for the purposes of Almighty God. and then you use your days to accomplish those purposes. Don't let your days determine your life. Let your life determine your days. And don't just let your days go by. Prepare them that they might become vessels of blessing and also life. Appoint your days for the purposes of the Most High. Let's look at point one. Prepare the days ahead. Set them apart. Commit them into God's hands and appoint them for the fulfilling of His purposes. Look at Psalm 90:12, and you should know that very well. Here's what it says. So teach us. Underline the word teach. The word teach means sit under godly instruction. Sit under godly instruction that is going to come from the Word of the living God. So teach us. Underline the word us. The wise Christian seeks to understand the brevity of life. Now let's put this together. So teach us godly instruction from the Word of God concerning revelation and illumination about the brevity of our days that you talk about in the Word of the living God. That as human beings, we're only going to live so long. We're only going to live so many days. And it's all wrapped up in the brevity of life. So teach us to number our days. I know that seems strange. It doesn't seem right, but listen to what the Scripture says. So teach us to number our days, or to prepare our days, or to appoint our days before our days come into being. So I'm praying for days that have not come into my life yet. Today, I'm praying for tomorrow. Tomorrow, I will pray for the next day. I will appoint myself as a vessel of Almighty God so I may sit under His instruction and be a blessing to those that are around me. So teach us to number our days that we may cultivate. Underline the word cultivate. The word cultivate means to prepare and improve. So what am I to prepare and improve in this process of appointing and preparing the days as they come, that we may cultivate, that is, prepare and improve and bring to you. Who is you? Underline the word you. It is a reference to God. Remember, bring it to God. Why? God is all-knowing. God is everywhere present. God is all-powerful and God is all-sufficient. So teach us as your children to number our days that we may prepare and improve a heart of wisdom. Underline the word wisdom. Let me define that for you. Number one, wisdom is the ability, that is a God ability. It is a what? Grace gift that comes from God. Wisdom is the ability, it is a God-given grace, to make spiritually informed decisions. I'll reread that. Wisdom is the ability that comes from God to make spiritually informed decisions. Where do spiritually informed decisions come from? They're going to come from the Word of the living God. So wisdom is the ability to make spiritually informed decisions. It's applying the divine truth. The divine truth is the written Word of God that has come directly from Him. Again, it is absolute truth and absolute reality. There is no error in it. It's applying the divine truth of God's kingdom rule to rule in every area of our life. I'll repeat. It's applying the divine truth of God's kingdom rule to rule in every area of life. Here's some more. The only legitimate and wise response to the human condition is godly wisdom applied. What is godly wisdom applied? It is taking the word of the living God and applying it to every situation that you will find yourself in as a human being and as a child of the living God Himself. Also, there's something else. The wise live with a persistent reality of the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives and in every situation they find themselves in. Well, let's look at point two. Life is like a coin. You can spend it any way that you wish, but you can only spend it one time. God has given you a physical life. God has given you a spiritual life. This physical life, you're going to live it. And when you die, you're not going to go out of existence. You're not going to cease to exist, but a transition is going to take place. If you die as an unbeliever, you've rejected Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. At the moment of physical death, you're going to be ushered into Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. It is a holding pen until the great white throne judgment comes into play. Then every unbeliever will be taken out of Sheol by God Himself and Jesus Christ, and they will be placed before Jesus Christ at that great white throne judgment. Now, every believer in Christ that has died believing that Jesus Christ paid their sin debt in full, believing that Jesus Christ is God, always has been, and always will be, and they believe that Jesus Christ is what? He's Jesus, He's God, He's Lord, He's Savior. They will stand in front of Him, and they will answer to Him for what they did and what they did not do. In other words, what I did, empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit, and for what I did not do, empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. So therefore, if I did and lived my life as I should before the Lord by the word of the living God, then I will be greatly rewarded. If I did not live as a Christian as I was asked to live according to the word of the living God, I'm not going to have any rewards. Well, what does that mean? It means you're going to be in heaven, okay? But let me make a clarity here. When you talk about heaven and you talk about the New Jerusalem, remember the Bible says the New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. And where is it going to settle? On the new earth. There will be new heavens and there will be a new earth. So you and I, as God's people, the body of Christ, we're going to live in the New Jerusalem. And remember the New Jerusalem, they're going to have streets of transparent gold. I've never seen that before, but the Bible says that's the way it's going to be laid down in the New Jerusalem. It's going to be an awesome experience. And we are going, get this, we're going to rule and reign with Him upon the nations that are going to come out of the millennial right there, okay? Now, you have the tribulation period. Not all people are going to be killed in the tribulation period. There will be people who are unbelievers that are going to receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior. If they are not killed, where are they going to go? They're going to walk out of the seven-year tribulation into the millennial, the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've already stated, Christianity, salvation, will not be automatic in the millennium. Will babies be born in the millennium? Yes. And they will have parents that will have an old sin nature. So therefore, every baby born in the millennial is going to have an old sin nature. Therefore, Christianity is not going to be automatic in their lives. They will hear the gospel. They will hear the word of the living God. They will see Jesus Christ standing right there in front of them. But they're still going to have to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, as it is done now during the age of grace, or the church age. All right, now, I want you to take your Bible. I want to reread before we close Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. But I want to read in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. I think it'll give you a little bit of an understanding, a better understanding of what we have been talking about. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Verse 10, it says, everything has already been decided. Does that surprise you?
No.
When you talk about predestination, what are you talking about? Predestination is tied into what? A believer. A believer. It has nothing to do with unbelievers. It has all to do with believers in Christ. All right? Everything has already been decided. I'll ask you again. When was everything decided? In eternity past. By who? By the Holy Trinity. So that is a divine decree that is non-negotiable and it is not going to change. How could a decision like this be made? We'll repeat. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are all three God. So they are all three all-knowing. They knew already in eternity past what was going to happen before anything was created, therefore before anything came into existence. Everything has already been decided. I don't know about you, but that is why I am a Christian. I worship and serve Jesus Christ. I have a Father. It is my Heavenly Father. And He already knows everything that is going to happen. So He knows how to guide your life. He knows how to feed you spiritually. He knows how to walk you, physically speaking, to avoid the minefields that are out there. And they are out there. They are going off 90 to nothing. And so therefore it is nice to know you have God and who He is. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago, and long ago would refer to eternity past, what each person would be. All right, go back to the book of Jonah for a moment in your mind. Knowing this, is God going to prepare you like He did Jonah to get you to bring out the message He wants you to bring out and bring you to the place He wants to bring you? So you can be a witness, or you can preach the Word of God, or you can evangelize the Word of God to get people where they need to be. Was Jonah reluctant to go? He was. He said, look over there. He said, those are the filthiest people. They're nothing but sinners. How in the world, oh God, could you love them and accept them? Now, what did you find out about Jonah? He was spiritually immature. And God is trying to bring him through that to be spiritually mature. Now, what happens? He fights it. He's reluctant. But God knew this was going to happen. When did God prepare himself for what Jonah was going to do? Was it at the moment Jonah was doing these things? No. In eternity past, He knew Jonah. In eternity past, He prepared the days that Jonah was going to be in. He appointed the days. Now listen, He says Jonah is going to be in this geographical location. He's going to be in this specific place. So what was going on in the Holy Trinity? In the Holy Trinity, in eternity past, what was going on? They were saying, you know what? We're going to prepare Jonah. And this is how we're going to prepare Jonah. We're going to appoint a worm. We're going to appoint a fish. And we're going to appoint a wind. He is doing that in the life of His children today. Sometimes we are reluctant to do what God is wanting us to do, to do what God is asking us to do. So what's going to happen? Everything that is happening, he already knew. He has appointed. He has prepared. So therefore, he says, right now in your life, Jeff, you need a worm to eat up the plant that you're sitting under, because you're so comfortable in what you're doing and where you're at. You're reluctant to get up and go where I want you to go. You say, Lord, I want to do what I want to do. So what does he do? He takes away that comfort in your life. That's one thing. Remember when old Jonah's in the boat? And what does the crew want to do? They want to try to get him to shore. If we could just get this old dude, this guy out of the boat, everything's going to settle down. What did God appoint? What did God prepare to happen in the life of Jonah? God prepared a wind at exactly the right moment to blow in a way that the ships could not row against it. They tried and they tried and they tried to get Jonah to land. But what happened? They said, forget it. Let's just go back out here in the water. God already knew that. God already had a great fish waiting for Jonah to encounter. So the fish was already there, already appointed, already prepared. Was it at the moment? No. It was already done in eternity past. Folks, I'm trying to tell you this. God has appointed. God has prepared the days, and your days are numbered. And now he's asking you to do the same thing. You say, how can I, that am not all-knowing, prepare and appoint the days that are ahead of me? What did we just say? What you do is say, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for tomorrow that is going to come, that you will take me and use me and divinely enable me and divinely empower me to be a blessing in the life of somebody else, that they may come to see you for who you are and learn about you and learn more about themselves, how they are in desperate need of Jesus Christ, his personal Lord and Savior, and not to wait but receive him right now. Jonah, what happened to Jonah? What the Lord wanted to happen. He prepared and he appointed. And Jonah went to the place where God wanted him to be. Let me tell you what Jesus or God said to Jonah. Jonah, you got upset over one plant. You threw one heck of a spiritually immature fit. You were worried over one plant. I am concerned with thousands of people in Nineveh. What was the problem, Chad? He was spiritually immature. I want to do what I want to do, and let me judge people the way I want to judge them. But it took a worm to eat the plant to take away his comfort. It took the wind to keep him from being delivered to the land, to stay out in the waters, because there was something in the waters he knew nothing about, but it was waiting on him. You need a little worm in your life to eat you and get you out of your comfort zone? Or do you need some wind in your life to keep you from going where you think you need to go? Do you need a big fish? Do you need to stay in the belly of a fish, helpless, until you come to your senses and spiritually mature? It's not about me. It's all about you. So what are you going to do today? You're going to go home and pray. God, help me to prepare and appoint my day if it comes from you tomorrow. That tomorrow will be a day of blessing and thanksgiving and praise and adoration. and that I may go from spiritually immature to spiritually mature in Jesus Christ. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you teach us in Ecclesiastes. Who are we to question you? Who are we to be like even Job and ask all these questions? But God had all the answers to what Job did not have. Father, I pray that we have learned that death is just a transition. We are going beyond the grave. I pray you'll go beyond the grave into the arms of Jesus Christ and not down to a place called Sheol. I pray that every one of us will think about dying, because we are all given a day when it will come, or a moment, a night. And there is no purgatory. There is no second chance of getting cleaned up after you die this physical death. Jesus Christ is here. His arms are truly stretched out and open wide. He's wanting to receive you. He's preparing things and appointed things in your days. Today, tomorrow, the next day, if He allows you to live, to get you to come in His direction, that you may receive Him as precious Lord and Savior. And thank you, Heavenly Father. What I see in this world is unsettling, nothing but chaos. But you say, Terry, it's okay. It's going just like I saw it would go in eternity past, just like I knew it would go. It has not disrupted my plans, and it's not going to. So peace I give you, my child, that you and I will walk through everything together. And you will grow and you will grow. Just let me teach you how to see things from a spiritual perspective. I ask this as your Lord and Savior and somebody that loves you more than you know. Let me lead you. Let me carry you. Let me love you. Let me feed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.